Our next special guest, Erica Busa-Hamey, is a very dedicated psychic medium. She has written a book called Sam and the Boogeyman, and we'll get right into her work when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with international psychic medium Erica Busa-Hamey. She is highly respected for her amazing ability to communicate with loved ones from the other side. Erica has helped countless people with issues in relationships, grief, career, family, health, finance, death, crime, business, and so much more. As a matter of fact, when we take calls next hour, she'll deal with everything, by the way. She uses her mediumship, clairvoyance, and clairaudience, and her ability to help others find closure and insight into their lives. This is her first time, I believe, Erica, on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show.
It is. This is a pinnacle of my career. I am such a fan and so honored to be a part of the show tonight.
And I believe we met years ago at an event somewhere around Florida, didn't we?
We did. I actually flew you into Pensacola.
That was you.
Comic-Con. Yes, in 2011. Dave Schrader was there, Brian Armand.
That's right.
Dr. Raymond Moody.
Gosh, 10 years ago.
Yes.
Plus.
Yes, definitely.
My gosh. Interesting last name. How do you pronounce your name? I want to hear you say it.
So the funny joke is that my husband is from Morocco, so he pronounces it Busarhan. I pronounce it Busarhaney because at the time in the South, trying to learn how to spell it and say it, it was easier for me to pronounce it phonetically. So that's the running joke. I don't know how to really pronounce my name. So when people butcher it, I just laugh about it.
So Busarhaney, that's what it shall be, and I'll do the best I can to get it out there right for you.
All right, thanks.
How long have you had this psychic ability? Since you were born?
Definitely. I feel that I came from a family of intuitive women, men. My grandmother was definitely an intuitive, my aunt, my mom. My grandmother was actually married to a Navy man, and my mom was born in Chelsea, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
And during the time they stayed there, when she was a little girl, the family saw ghosts all the time. My mom and her siblings actually played with an Indian little girl that always would appear out of nowhere. They knew it was a ghost, I guess. At some point, they figured it out. But she would appear barefoot, sometimes even in the snow, and my grandmother would say, you know, why don't you have any shoes on? And I guess eventually they figured out that she was truly a ghost and not a real person. But I've heard stories about the interactions of my family with the spirit world all my life.
You wrote an interesting children's book called Sam and the Boogeyman. Interesting title for a kid's book. Tell me about that.
My children, unfortunately, are also gifted with this ability that seems to run in the family, in the heredity. My two sons, I was working on some cold cases at the time, and my son was telling me, Mom, there's someone shaking my bed. You know, he was around 2 years old or so at the time, and we were having so many, you know, issues with him with bad dreams. And then when we went to visit Morocco, my son also saw what we would call a jinn in Arabic. And it was actually someone who had died when my husband's family built the house. So my son was able to see that. When we came back to the U.S., to the house, he kept seeing all these different spirits in the home. And so we created this book. I let them pick out the names. I let them choose the illustrations. And it was their way basically to deal with what was going on. And I wanted to definitely empower them and make them feel like this was their guardian angel, not the boogeyman. So the story is basically a tribute to my children and other children. And it teaches you how to make a boogeyman spray. Because I sometimes feel that parents, when they have these situations with their children, they feel the negative instead of turning the negative to a positive, because it's not always an evil. It can sometimes just be a grandmother that's checking on them or a loved one that just wants to see them and make sure that they're okay. So I always tell people, don't say the boogeyman. Let's say guardian angel. It sounds so much better.
When you were in Morocco, were you in Marrakesh?
I did go there. I went as many places as I could. I went there. I went to Fez. My husband's family is from Mohammedia. So I was shopping every place I could.
Well, that's an interesting spot, and it's a gorgeous area out there.
It is very beautiful. I loved walking the streets of Morocco looking for haunted places. My family didn't realize that at the time that I was actually finding the ghost houses and trying to discover what spirits were there, but they later found that out, and they were tickled by it.
Erica, did you find the people to be very friendly?
Oh, yes. Moroccans are very, you know, I think that's just true of the area, but they're very friendly. They were definitely, sometimes I didn't even speak the language, and intuitively I knew what I needed to say. It was just a crazy thing, but almost definitely, if you've not had an opportunity to visit Morocco, I would definitely encourage you to do it.
Your mother used to dabble with the Ouija board, didn't she?
Oh, gosh, there are so many family stories about my mom and the Ouija board. Growing up, my mom was kind of like that artist hippie black girl that, you know, that dabbled in all kind of things. And we would have, you know, little Ouija board sessions. I remember growing up, my mom would talk to different spirits. One of them was David, I remember. And it used to scare the crap out of me. But then, you know, I guess I didn't realize how cool she was at the time, now that I'm doing this type of stuff for a living.
She predicted her employer's death, didn't she?
Yes. So what happened was, my mom at the time was going to school for dentistry, and she was working for a gentleman by the name of Dr. Spence. And he was kind of like a mentor to her, and her gift is a little different from mine. She has an uncanny ability to sense death before it happens, and so she was pleading with the doctor and his wife and the family, please take him to be seen. There's something going on. She was at work, began profusely crying. He had a heart attack while she was there. He literally basically died in her arms. And that was, I guess, so traumatic for her, she really wanted to turn her abilities off. So that is one of her gifts. She's also kind of kooky because she likes to do, like, reborn dolls, and mm-hmm. she does snakes. And she's a very intuitive, gifted artist. I wish I would have got that ability, but unfortunately I got the talk to dead people thing, so I'm okay with that.
You were 10 when the employer died, and something very strange happened. Did he come visit you after he passed on?
Yes, that night when we had left the funeral, Dr. Spence actually sat on my bed, and he talked to me just like, you know, we're having this conversation now, and he basically told me that, you know, everything was going to be okay. I had no idea. I mean, it was just one of those weird things, and we had a conversation about a lot of different topics. And I thought I had dreamed this the whole time until later on, when this stuff would happen again, I realized that was not a dream. That was definitely a visit, and it began to happen more and more throughout my childhood. I would have deja vu. I could see auras around people. I could hear inside my head, clairaudience, conversations with people when I was about to go to sleep, when I was walking around. There were just things that I knew as a child that I should not know. And I didn't really understand it at the time, but that was basically the genetic component to this inheritance of psychic ability that I had.
Erica, what other abilities do you possess?
So I always say that I have all of the five senses, but the sixth sense to me is just all of those things supersized. So I taste, I hear, I see, I smell, and I feel. And one of the other things I like to say is that, you know, it's like a joke that I talk and see and hear and taste dead people. And because of my kidney transplant in 2019, I actually carry with me an organ from someone who is also deceased.
Oh, my God. Now, tell me about that kidney transplant. What happened to you?
So when I had my first child, or became pregnant in 2019, I was diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease. You know, and the idea was that my kidney would continue, and then at some point it would fail. and I would have to have a transplant. So I secretly didn't tell anybody, you know, none of my clients knew, none of my friends knew. I went through this whole process of, you know, waiting for the downfall of my kidney. I did dialysis at home. And then later, probably about 2 days before my birthday, July 31st, 2019, my birthday being August 2nd, I got the best gift ever, the best birthday gift you could ever want. I actually got a transplant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I am so blessed to have that gift of love. And I always encourage people, you know, you just never know. If you want to be a donor, be a donor, because, you know, you can impact and change people's lives with that donation.
At what point in your career did you kick it into high gear?
Well, you know, I struggled with this. I had to get so many different signs. I know when I was in college, I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries, and I would see things, and it would scare me. You know, I grew up, you know, listening to The Devil Went Down to Georgia, and I was scared.
Sure.
I saw The Exorcist. I was scared. All of these different movies that I would see on television made me feel that this ability was the devil. You know, I was going to get possessed, or it was some type of evil thing. And so it took moving into this haunted house that made me really understand that there was something going on. It wasn't schizophrenia. There was something that I was destined or supposed to do, and it began. I guess I kicked it into high gear when I moved into this haunted house, and I became tormented, literally, by spirits, because the house was next to power lines. And so when we bought the house, I think it was just the perfect storm. Here I am with my abilities. We've got this non-flow of energy right next to my house, and these spirits are just basically a vortex coming through, making me say, hey, get busy with this ability. You're here to do something. So that's what it kicked into gear.
Do you sometimes get frightened of ghosts? Does that bother you?
I do, and I really attribute my fear, my early fear, it's not necessarily right now, but, you know, growing up, I was born in Pensacola, Florida. I'm in the South. We call it the Bible Belt here. So, you know, growing up, looking for portrayals of African-American people with abilities were very scarce, you know. So my first experiences were like things like the Black Mamba, you know, the Serpent in the Rainbow, Angel Heart, even though I love that movie, the Skeleton Key also, but it was always such an evil, scary, voodoo, sorcery,
yeah, right,
connotation.
And they made voodoo to look scary, and it's not a scary religion at all.
It definitely isn't. And I think that hindered, you know, a lot of people of color, not necessarily just African-American, but people of color, because I also attribute that to a lot of my Native American friends that are now going back to their ancestral roots. But it was such a taboo thing to connect with their ancestors at that time and to relearn their spiritual connection to Earth. So I really think that is important. And that was some of the fears for me initially. You know, I was majoring in psychology, so I didn't want to be labeled crazy. And then you have this connotation of this ability being evil. And so it took a long time and a lot of prayer and a lot of soul-searching for me to make that, you know, jump out of what I call the psychic closet full-time and, you know, say, I don't care what people think. This is something that I've got to do. It's a part of my plan.
How come so many people will go to bed, but they will not put their arms over the bed where it's dangling near the floor?
Well, I think, again, you look at movies, you know.
Hollywood did this to us.
Yes, Poltergeist, remember? Who wants to get pulled under the bed by the clown? I mean, that traumatized me as
well. I hate clowns, too, by the way.
So yeah, I mean, and think about, you know, most people cover up with the covers. They don't dangle their toes out because they're afraid somebody's going to tickle their toes at night. So, yeah, there is, you know, I blame Hollywood in some ways for some of our unnatural fear, because we're all born intuitive. Animals are so intuitive, dogs, cats, all types of animals, actually. And so we are born with this ability. It's just that we're taught, unfortunately, not to harness it, and sometimes even that it's an evil thing.
Erica, at what point did you get involved in trying to solve crimes and look for missing people?
So in that home that I talked about, this haunted house, this perfect storm, I started having these nightmares, repetitive nightmares over and over and over again. And I started having visions of this particular girl by the name of Melissa Eck. It was almost like she was traumatizing me or torturing me at some point. I went down to our local sheriff department, God bless my soul, and I said, look, you know, I might be crazy. I don't know what's going on with me, but I feel like I'm supposed to help. And they took me serious because I guess I gave them enough information at the time that, you know, I couldn't have pulled out of the air. And so I'll never forget, he started passing out my cards to some of the families of local cold cases, and I would meet with them and I would help them. Joanne Otto is one that I know that I, you know, truly loved interacting and working with her mom. She's done a lot for the community. And then I got a little bit more bolder. I went to the internet and I found a company. There was a gentleman by the name of Kelly. At the time, he had a Find Me organization, and he worked with psychics. And so I volunteered to do that. I started my own forum, and I would take cases from all across the world, and they would usually send me something via mail, an item of clothing, a piece of jewelry, and I would use what we call psychometry, and I would hold it, make a taping of it, and send it back. It was very impactful. I remember one time I was doing this girl by the name of Tina Lynn Wilkerson, and I could not feel my whole body. And I was so afraid this girl had possessed me, you know. I think that, you know, there's always these things that happen, these synchronicities to kind of keep you guided. And all these things just kind of unfold. And moving in that house definitely was a catalyst to start my decision to work for cold cases and missing people.
Did law enforcement approach you as well?
Yes. I was able to work with some cases, especially over the internet. And locally here in Pensacola, we did have a girl that went missing by the name of Samira Watkins, and I was able to assist with that case too. She was actually, that case really traumatized me for at least 3 months. I did not read. She was 3 months pregnant. She was murdered. And I had met her prior in a gallery reading and told her that she was pregnant, and she did not even know she was.
Oh, my God.
And the whole circumstances around the reading was that she needed to stay away from the then father of the child that I saw her being hurt, murdered specifically. And the fact that I could not stop her death traumatized me for so, I mean, even to this day, I cry over.
Was he convicted?
He was. He was, ironically, a military police officer.
Jeez.
And he was married at the time, and this went viral all over the place. They actually made a documentary about it as well. But he went to work over at the Navy base and threw her body in a duffel bag. Military duffel bag at that, in the ocean, and she was found later. But yeah, it was just a horrific case because unfortunately she was 3 months pregnant. So not only did she lose her life, but an unborn child was also lost too. And, you know, the families are all devastated.
Erica, you are called the Oprah of the paranormal, aren't you?
That for a long time, and I think I still am called that by some friends. And it was primarily because at that time I wanted to be the Oprah Winfrey of the paranormal. I wanted to network and make those connections, and I did for a long time. Took a break and started raising my children, but I found that the universe kind of said, hey, it's time to get back out there, so that's what I'm doing now.
Erica's websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to come back in a moment and talk more about her work, even the little book, Sam and the Boogeyman. She wrote it for kids, but it's probably appropriate for adults as well. But we'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. And we're going to take your calls with Erica next hour here on Coast to Coast. She's a psychic medium, and you can ask her any question you want about yourself, about your love life, about your jobs, about your dearly departed. She'll just work on that. George Norrie back with Erica Busaheni as we are talking about her world in the psychic realm. Erica, you have a kidney from a person who has passed on.
I do.
I have heard so many stories of people who have body parts from donors who have died that they pick up things, memory and stuff like that. Has that ever happened with you?
It happens all the time. I truly feel that I have found my donor. Even though I will not approach his family, but I have recently definitely found him. I found that I had started buying chandeliers. I craved lima beans for at least 4 months. That's all I ate after my transplant for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, lima beans. I can hear him talk to me at times, especially at night. And he has a very twisted sense of humor. But I do. I am so grateful for his gift because I know that he changed my life dramatically and drastically. And I am just, again, so appreciative for people that donate organs so that people like myself, a mom, a wife, can pay forward that gift in some way.
And I had heard there's such a shortage of organs, they're starting to turn to pigs for organs.
They are, and there is also research, too, that they're trying to do some electrical organs as well. So I hope that, you know, just listening to this, if you're not thinking about maybe checking that box for your driver's license, I am living proof that that gift does save lives.
We will take calls with Erica next hour here on Coast to Coast. You are filming your second season of Second Sight Paranormal TV. Tell us about that.
Yes. You know, of course, loving to do the paranormal thing, being a ghost hunter, I wanted to create a team of people like myself that could possibly go back to my love of crime and mediumship. And so I found a team of people. We have a police officer on the team, an attorney, a crime expert, criminal justice majors. We actually even have a pilot, a state investigator, me, the psychic medium, a realtor, just an insurance adjuster, so many different things connected to crime and just that field that we've decided that not only are we going to make some fabulous TV shows that will definitely air on our Roku channel and also the home of the paranormal, Paraflix. We decided that we're just going to kind of start doing some crime scenes now, and we're going to do some missing people. So the show has kind of evolved from only paranormal to all things, and we're going to do crime, history, unsolved mysteries, and paranormal activity across the country. So we will be traveling. If you want us to come to you, reach out.
Excellent. Now tell us a little bit about how other people can see these films.
They can go to Paraflix, which is kind of dubbed the home of the paranormal right now. It's paraflix.com. And they can go to our secondsightparanormal.com website. And under our TV shows, it'll have all the links. We actually are lucky that we're on several networks, but we also have our own Roku channel. But I always tell people, definitely check out paraflix.com because we have our whole season there. We're shooting our second season now. And it is a wonderful platform for all things paranormal, as your platform is wonderful for all things paranormal and awesome and UFO and everything else.
When people come to you, Erica, what do they come to you for primarily?
A lot of people come for mediumship because I guess I'm known as the chocolate telephone to the dead. But I help people from all walks of life. Sometimes people are moving into a haunted house or they're moving into a house and they don't know if it's haunted or not. So I usually will remote view it and walk around it. It's kind of fun to do that. And most people literally come to me for, I would say, mediumship and the love and the career. But I do it all. But my specialty definitely is talking to dead people.
You enjoy that?
I do. It's scary at times, especially when you want to sleep, you know, and sometimes they just don't want to leave you alone. But I do enjoy that. I do enjoy the paranormal aspects of going on to into a house or on location and talking with the different dimensional spirits and trying to see if – I don't really think that we have to resolve the haunting because I think they have free will to come and go. But it's really cool to tap into their message for us. And sometimes it's really some very insightful things. We just did the Myrtles Plantation, and – I was in awe of all of the spirits of the slaves that felt very comfortable to talk with me, but then also talk with some of the other people that were dead on the land, the Native Americans as well. So it was just a wonderful experience. It was one of those bucket list locations that I truly enjoyed.
Absolutely. I'll always remember Whoopi Goldberg in the movie Ghost.
And I am a Whoopi Goldberg.
Are you?
I honor
they
that.
They would not leave her alone.
Oh, yes. That is my life all day long. But it's so funny. See, I don't really feel that that movie was a negative. I think it was just beautifully illustrated because it is the world of a medium. I mean, it's not as funny, unfortunately, as that movie was. But it is a realistic vision of what death is like, you know, when a person transitions. They do go out of the body. They do go someplace else. It's not a final thing. And our loved ones can communicate with them. They don't necessarily need a Whoopi Goldberg or a medium. They can learn to recognize the signs that they give them every day and talk to them just like we're talking.
What has been for you the most satisfying aspect of what you do, Erica?
Just telling the stories, you know, being the voice when people don't realize that they can have that connection. The biggest thing is being the voice. Like, I know that recently I talked to a gentleman by the name of Chris Shawley, and he just wanted his mom to know that he loved her. And he unfortunately had committed suicide, and I can talk about this with her permission.
Sure.
He had tried 13 times was the charm, but he had grown up in the abuse system of the Dozier School of Boys in Marianna, Florida, and he unfortunately went through some torture, and that affected his life so drastically. So me being able to give her some sense of closure and understanding and healing, that is the gift that I think is life-changing for me.
Have you ever been scared to death?
Oh, gosh, yes. So my scared to death moment would be we had filmed an episode, we call it Curse Cliffs, and it was in Pensacola at a location called The Bluffs, and we got followed by a very negative spirit. And unfortunately, that negative spirit flooded Valerie Shakespeare, my crime expert, flooded her home the same night. It wreaked havoc for everybody that was on the team that was present. And it got me in the worst place possible in the bathtub. Scared me so bad, I don't even want to technically talk about it. But I was able to grow from that, learn to protect myself a lot better, and understand that, you know, within this paranormal field, there is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's very important to know what you're doing and to protect yourself.
And you have to, too.
You definitely do. And there's so many different things that, you know, one can do to protect themselves. But I like most prayer. Prayer for me is the way. You know, everybody has their own thing, whether it's, you know, essential oils or herbs, mantras, you know, different things like that. But for me, prayer definitely is my go-to.
What about sage? Why did they talk about, you know, rubbing sage around your house to get rid of these spirits?
Sage is kind of like a high vibrational thing. A lot of people think they attribute it only to Native Americans, but sage is actually a multicultural. Frankincense and myrrh, sage, Palo Santo, the different incense that people would burn, the things that you would actually smell in a Catholic church. All of those things basically are what we would call high vibrational energy cleansers. And so what they do is they raise the vibration in the room, in the atmosphere, so that the negative entities would not want to stay there. And so a lot of people use those things to keep their home cleansed or to clean their environment if they have some negative energy or spirit around.
Since you've been doing this, do you train other people to do what you do?
I believe that everybody is born psychic. So, you know, I always say, hey, no, I'm not special. We're all like this. I might have a little bit more ability than some people, but I believe that everybody can fine-tune their psychic intuition. And I think what stops people is that they truly don't want to be labeled as crazy. I mean, we've got mental health. You know, I majored in psychology and went into child care. So I've seen the good and the bad of the mental health system. And so I think that there are a lot of times there are children that are very intuitive and autistic, and there are adults that are very psychic that are maybe mislabeled because they don't understand. So I think that for me, yes, definitely you can learn how to be more intuitive. Matter of fact, on my website under classes and events, I do offer Zoom classes. I offer Zoom gallery readings where I can actually do mediumship readings in groups. But I also offer psychic development tools and meditations that, you know, you could go to coldcasepsychic.com and purchase these things. And they're very cost effective because I believe that learning should be accessible to everyone.
What do you think of exorcisms, Erica?
I try to stay away from having to be exorcised, but I definitely believe in it. I have, you know, unfortunately seen the negative of that in my own dealings with the paranormal, and I have, you know, traveled with the different people, met the Lorraine Warrens, the John Zaffises, and so
sure.
I know that it's really a real thing. I have met Carmen Reed and actually literally saw the entity that was in her house that was featured in the haunting in Connecticut. I actually drew a picture of it. It freaked her out because she said, oh my God, you're real. And I said, well, I would hope so. I thought I was a real psychic medium. I mean, we laughed about that because I was able to literally draw this demon out on a sheet of paper. But so, yeah, I do believe that definitely possessions happen. Exorcisms are necessary. And like your Bill Beans, there are people that God gave a talent to help people with those type of suffering. And so, yeah, I do believe in them. I think that they're very beneficial when people are going through that type of stuff.
You know all our show guests for
yes,
so many
I do.
Of them.
I traveled. Like I said, I started in 2010 traveling with most of the paracelebs. You know, I was one of the highlighting psychic mediums on most of these posters. And then I stepped away from it for a while because I had to raise my two sons.
Sure.
Yeah, and so, you know, I am so pleased. They're both in cybersecurity. One graduated with a 5.89 GPA. The other one graduated with a 4-something. He's working on his master's now.
Good for
them.
So
I had to get them prepared so that Mom could have her thing now.
What would you say is one of the most powerful messages you've received through some of these psychic abilities?
Just love. I mean, that death is just not the ending. That love transcends from death. And I hear people say to me sometimes, well, he was or she was. You know, a good father. And I say, no, they are. They still are. They're present. They're around. So some of the best messages that I get is just basically understanding that that death is not the end, that that love transcends death and that it is all around. But something else that I found, too, is that we, you know, that saying that we give the roses at death and not in life, that's important. We need to talk to people at birthday parties, at Christmas, like we would talk to them at their funeral. We need to do those things now while we can, because sometimes we don't get that second chance to do that until they die, and then, you know, it's a lot different. But that love transcends for sure.
Erica, when somebody does pass on, do they realize it right away that they've died?
I believe they do. I have had the opportunity to sit with people in hospice with families and watch them transition and communicate even when they were on ventilators, you know, and I have seen them see their loved ones, talk to their loved ones before transitioning. So I definitely feel like they do see that. They are aware that they're passing because they have loved ones that come and say, hey, it's going to be okay. We're here to take you with us. And so you will often hear, especially with a hospice and dying people, that they start to see people weeks ahead of time of death. And I have had situations, too, traumatic things like car accidents where I literally can see this person not in the car accident of trauma. They physically are above the car looking down at their body, and I'm telling the mom or the dad or the sister, hey, they're not in that car accident feeling that pain. They're up here looking at that body. It's like a fight or flight thing. And so I do believe, yes, they know when they're dying. It's not that whole, oh, my God, the ghost is trapped thing. I don't believe that.
And when they come back and reincarnate, what happens? Do you lose contact with them once they've reincarnated?
I have not necessarily had the whole concept of reincarnation. What I have found for me is that when spirits go to, we'll say, heaven or hell, however we want to look at that, and they come back and they talk to me or they talk to their loved ones, they are who they were. You know, they are Tom, they are Sarah, they are Cindy, they are those same people. They're just not a physical body. They're a spiritual body. But they usually come back as they were, sometimes much better looking and healthy and just in their spirit body without the disease or the problems that they had. They're just in the highest good.
Okay, well, you stick with us. We're going to come back and take calls next on Coast to Coast AM.